Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Paul says that his entire task is to preach Christ and Him crucified. When he gets among the Corinthians, he even says, "Well, I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified." To the Galatians, he says, "Far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ." And then later in one of his epistles, he says, "Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel, the good news of Christ's perfect life lived for sinners, His death died for sinners, and His life again from the grave for sinners." The good news of Christ for you, for sinners. That's what the gospel is. And Paul says he must preach it. He says, "I am compelled to preach it." But is that just Paul? This whole message of the cross, this whole message of preaching Christ and Him crucified, was it just Paul's bailiwick? And we've got better things to say today from our pulpits. We're going to talk tonight about preaching Christ crucified. Issues Etc. is a live call-in program, and it's Sunday night, July the 3rd. I'd love to hear from you in the next 2 hours on the subject of preaching Christ and Him crucified. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. You can use that as well with a question or a comment, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, before we introduce our guests for this evening, thanks to Pastor John Temple at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue and to Dr. Fred Bowie at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, for co-sponsoring Issues Etc. on KSIV here in St. Louis. Welcome aboard, and thanks for your support. Our guest this evening to talk about preaching Christ crucified is a regular, Dr. Carl Fikencher, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Carl, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be on again.
You know, this morning, many of our listeners in church heard about how God has blessed America, or how America has strayed from God's given destiny for it, or about the faith of our founding fathers. What is fundamentally wrong with this kind of preaching?
Well, obviously the most basic error there is that it's talking about something that God doesn't promise anything about in particular in Holy Scripture. It's addressing something that God does not speak about. You know, people in America make the mistake, well-intentioned, no doubt, but the mistake nevertheless, of thinking that America is somehow God's chosen nation, that God has a special covenant with the people on this particular piece of the North American continent, that He made that covenant a couple of centuries ago and continues to bless us in special ways. They even often go so far as to say that that covenant will continue as long as we continue to be faithful on our end of things. Well, the fact of the matter is that's not something God speaks about in Scripture at all. He used the Old Testament nation of Israel only specifically for the purpose of eventually bringing the Savior into the world, the Savior of all the world. And now, in the 21st century, we in America, no doubt, quite clearly, have been richly blessed in wonderful ways, but not because we are a special people. We are people sinful like all the other people of the world, blessed by God like all other people of the world, and people in need of the Christ who came to save all people of the world. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was for every nation, and the gospel is to be preached to all nations. If we have special opportunities at this particular time in America, marvelous, that's great, and we can always be thankful to God for every blessing that we receive at any time in any way, but that's not because there is some unique promise that God is going to use the United States of America. It really ultimately can have the very detrimental effect of sounding as if people in other parts of the world are not God's special people, where in fact everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is truly a child of God, and those in any nation who do not believe are in need of that salvation or will be lost forever, quite apart from the particular geography in which they live.
What about the element of that kind of preaching where you might hear more about John Adams or Thomas Jefferson or George Washington and very little about Jesus? Jesus seems to be given on 4th of July and other special occasions in many churches, he seems to be given the weekend off.
Well, that's well put. And, of course, that's very much to the point of the topic for today. As Paul said, as you introduced it very clearly, this is the point, Jesus Christ and him crucified. We delight to hear stories of believers in other generations, whether they be in America or anywhere else, but the stories of believers are never really the stories about those believers. Properly understood and properly proclaimed, they can only be illustrations of the one in whom Christians have believed. Everything that we proclaim is ultimately to be Christ crucified. And if we can look back at founding fathers and see that they really were believers in Christ, that's marvelous, but they're never to be the point. At best, human beings other than Christ himself can only be foils or opportunities for us to see the one in whom they trusted, to see Christ himself in clear relief.
So what specifically does it mean, these words that Paul says, preach Christ and him crucified? What does it mean to preach Christ and him crucified?
Well, that really says this, that Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, Christ's crucifixion, and including also, of course, his rising from the grave, is really what everything in Scripture is all about, therefore is really what the entire Christian life is all about, and ultimately, therefore, becomes the point of our message. When Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified, he wasn't in any way being kind of reductionistic to say there are just a couple of simple formulas that we spout off and repeat as a mantra again and again. The fact of the matter is, Christ's death on the cross has brought the whole human race back together with God, has taken away, wiped clean the sin that from the Garden of Eden on has separated the entire human race from God. And so the cross, by reconciling us to God, now opens up every wonderful possibility of blessing that God has in store for us. Every good thing that we receive is really a result of the reconciliation that we have with God by Jesus' death on the cross. And so in proclaiming any true Christian message, we're always going to go to the fact that Jesus, by that event in history, his death on the cross and his resurrection to follow that, has made possible God's blessing to us, God's caring for us, the forgiveness of all of our sins, ultimately eternal life in heaven.
Do Christians, even believers, people who have believed this gospel message for years, do they still need to hear Christ and him crucified every Sunday?
Constantly. And again, because this is ultimately the entire message. There really is no Christian message outside of the cross. In a very simple example, every Christian remains a sinner. Every one of us is tempted constantly. We are constantly giving in to those temptations and falling into sin. When we fall into sin again and again and again, not just by things we do, but what our sinful nature continues to be, we constantly need the assurance that we are still reconciled to God, that God still is our loving Father, that God still is with us to care for us and hear from us. And why is that? Why does God continue to forgive us? Why does God continue to count us among his children? Well, that's because the death of Christ Jesus continues to reconcile us to God. God constantly sees us through the event of the cross. Every time God looks at a believer in Christ, he sees us through, we might say, the prism of Jesus hanging on the cross. And when God the Father sees us that way, he sees no longer the sin which we continue to commit, the sinfulness which is continually a part of us, but rather he sees the holiness, the righteousness of Christ. As people who realize our sin constantly, we need that reassurance again and again and again every single day of our lives. Now, that's just the simplest, perhaps most basic reason that Christians also need to hear Christ crucified every single time we gather together to hear God's word.
When we come back from this break, we continue our conversation on preaching Christ crucified with Dr. Carl Fikencher this evening on Issues, Etc. When we come back, Scripture teaches two great truths. Everywhere you look, these two great truths continue to ring like two twin bells, law and gospel, what God requires by way of his law of us, these perfect commandments that require perfect obedience, and the gospel, Christ's perfect obedience to those commandments for us all the way to the cross. These two great bells continue to ring through Scripture, law and gospel. We'll have our guest, Dr. Carl Fikencher, give us an example from a passage from the Old Testament, from one of Paul's letters, from a gospel, on how we understand these passages in terms of law and gospel. 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back. When was the last time you heard a sermon where the law of God was preached in such a way so that you knew you deserved hell and damnation? And the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached in such a way so that you knew that Jesus had taken everything you deserved at the cross. Does the church save that kind of preaching for special occasions? Or should the preaching of law and gospel be for every sinner, every Sunday, at every opportunity? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is called Handling the Word of Truth, Law and Gospel in the Church Today. The book is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the book, Handling the Word of Truth, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues Etc. Larry Rast, Arthur Just, Carl Fikencher, Kurt Marquardt, Peter Scare, Cameron McKenzie.
You probably recognize these names as regular guests on Issues Etc. But what else do they have in common? Well, they're all members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dean Wenthy, Walter A. Meyer II, David Scare, Dan Gard, Charles Geeshan, Bill Weinrich.
Have you ever considered the pastoral ministry? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call them 1-800-481-2155. Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
John Pless, Hal Senkbeil, Richard Muller, Roland Ziegler.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the Book of Proverbs with Dr. Ken Sherb of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. Should Christian women imitate the Proverbs 31 woman? Why is this Book of Proverbs so popular among many Christians today? How does this book define its central theme, it seems, wisdom? And most importantly, where do we find Jesus in Proverbs? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Ken Sherb. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of the month of July, just check out our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at the website, be sure to find out more about our monthly donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You can find out how to support this worldwide outreach by becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer. Reformation Club benefits include monthly tapes and books and transcripts. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses there at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We're talking about Christ, preaching Christ and Him crucified. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. Dr. Fikencher, these two great teachings of Scripture, law and gospel, the best way to understand them is to hear them from a passage of Scripture. Give us an example from the Old Testament of how we find law and gospel.
Sure. Let's look at, let's begin with Isaiah chapter 53, a very easy place to start. And as we look at these passages, let's consider how each one of them, even though I won't select passages that are the event of Christ's crucifixion, nevertheless, in each case, really are demonstrations of what it means to preach Christ crucified. Isaiah chapter 53, of course, is well known, and it is a passage in the Old Testament that has very, very clear allusion, a very explicit prophecy of Christ's death on the cross. If you look just at verse 6, for example, Isaiah 53, verse 6, the prophet writes this, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, that's a passage that has very explicit law and very explicit gospel in it. When it begins by saying that all of us have been like sheep, all of us have wandered away, we've all gone astray, what it's saying is that every single human being has turned away from God's commands, that we have disobeyed what God would have us to do, just as a sheep might wander off from the flock. And of course, we know a sheep that wanders away is in dire straits, to say the least. That's speaking very specifically about how each one of us is sinful. And that's a good illustration of what God's law always is. God's law shows us that we are sinful. And it shows us, therefore, that we are in need of someone saving us, as a wandering sheep certainly needs the shepherd to track it down and bring it back to safety. When we wander away from God's law, when we disobey what God commands us to do, when we break his law, then we need to be saved. But then, the rest of the passage, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's a prophecy of what God the Father would do with Christ, that all of our sin, our wandering away, our going off like erring sheep, all of our sins, everything which we have done, which of course is actually an offense against God himself, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, takes upon his own shoulders. This, of course, is specifically what Jesus did on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he was there specifically bearing the weight of every sin ever committed by any human being who's ever lived. And when our sins are laid upon Christ, they're taken away from us. Now, that is about as explicit a gospel expression as one could give. This, of course, is what the gospel proclaims to us, that Christ has taken our sin upon himself, taken our sin away from us, borne the punishment of our sin, so that then we stand forgiven. We stand innocent, righteous, holy before God. That's exactly what the gospel is. And so here, an example from the Old Testament is clear law, clear gospel, and certainly it is also very clearly proclaiming first our need for Christ crucified, and then secondly the fact that Christ, as the crucified one, has taken our sins away.
Okay,
so there's a very explicit Old Testament example.
Someone's going to say that was a pretty good one from Isaiah. Let's go into harder territory. What about the letters of the apostles, the epistles? Give us an example of law and gospel, sin and grace from those letters.
Sure. Well, let me take just the epistle lesson that was read in many of our churches this morning. Our epistle lesson for this Sunday, Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25a, a well-known passage because it really is very helpful for us in caring for our people who are going through sinful struggles. If you recall, this is the passage where Paul is talking about how he just continues to sin even though he doesn't want to do it. He says this, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." And he goes on to say, "I know that nothing good lives in me," that is, in my sinful nature. And finally, in verse 24, he says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" All the way through here, the first part of this Bible reading, St. Paul is proclaiming what is true of every single one of us. Paul is a believer in Christ. That means he knows that he has been redeemed, he wants to do the things of God, but now, even as a believer, this is back to your original question, Todd, about the importance of believers also hearing the cross, Paul continues to struggle. He continues to realize that he is sinful, and that's a very explicit declaration of the law. Paul is saying about himself what we also would say about ourselves if we are honest, if we hear what God commands, that we continue, try as we might otherwise, to fall short of doing those things God would have us to do. That shows us once again we are sinners. That's the law. when the law shows us that we are sinners, then what do we need? And again, Paul asks the question, who will rescue me from this body of death? And the way the Bible reading in the epistle lesson today ended is this. Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who will rescue us? Christ Jesus will. We thank God for rescuing us by sending Christ Jesus to take our sins, all these things we continue to commit, upon himself. Where? On the cross. Again, Paul does not specifically narrate the event of Jesus' death on the cross, but that's precisely what he's talking about. First, our need for Christ crucified, and then thanks be to God that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to rescue us from what Paul calls this body of death, this total helplessness and hopelessness that we would be in if not for Christ crucified.
All right, when we come back from this break, one more example from Scripture. Let's take this one from one of the four Gospels about how these two great truths of Scripture, sin and grace, law and gospel, continue to ring so that Christ might be proclaimed crucified for sinners. By the way, we have several resources posted on our website on the subject of Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching, including an excerpt from our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. It's called Handling the Word of Truth. Our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section, and you'll find these resources, including that excerpt from our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Handling the Word of Truth, issuesetc.org. And we'll be giving away copies of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July to our best callers, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. So call during this break. What do you think about the state of preaching today, especially when compared to words of Paul like, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. I was determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. How do you think today's preaching stacks up? 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in number, call during this break, will be giving away to our best callers a copy of that book, Handling the Word of Truth, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. He's Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, one more example from Scripture of how Christ is proclaimed to the sinner. This one from the Gospels when we come back. Dr. Carl Fikencher on the Center of Seminary Life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Certainly, we would begin by expressing our strong commitment to the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions. Everything that we do here is gathered around God's Word, whether that is a matter of our daily worship in the chapel or the prayer life that is a part of our activity together. The classes themselves are always focused on proclaiming Christ as well. I think another very important aspect of our seminary that makes us unique is the relationship between the faculty and the students. And of course, always it's based on our shared faith in Christ Jesus.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, or to schedule an on-campus visit, call 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Pastor John Pless. He's author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Handling the Word of Truth, Law and Gospel in the Church Today. Pastor Pless, what does it mean to rightly handle the word of truth?
Well, Todd, that's a phrase that comes from Paul's admonition to Timothy when he tells him to study, to show himself approved as one as a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly handling or rightly dividing the word of truth. And there Paul is instructing Timothy and us in terms of how we are to understand and use the Holy Scripture, that the Scriptures contain both law and gospel, two different words from God, And the reader and certainly the preacher of Holy Scripture has to know how to make that distinction.
So what's the danger when this distinction between law and gospel is either ignored or allowed to fall by the wayside?
Well, the real danger is to the gospel itself, that the gospel, which is always the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, always the proclamation and announcement of what God has done for us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is missed, and we hear preaching that focuses on lifestyle, the kind of sermon that speaks of 10 principles of Christian money management or 7 steps to Christian parenting, and that's all in the way of the law, and so people do not hear that consoling and sweet message that we have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we can rest our confidence in Him alone.
So does even the Christian need to hear the message of law and gospel?
That's right. Christians still need to hear both. We need to hear the law because the old man, the old Adam, is still very much with us, and the law puts the old Adam to death, and because we are still sinners, we always need to hear then that glorious word of the gospel that brings us forgiveness of sins, because forgiveness of sins is not a one-time affair for the Christian. Forgiveness of sins is what sustains the Christian life from start to finish.
For more information about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Handling the Word of Truth, call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or go to our website. The book is on the homepage, issuesetc.org. Handling the Word of Truth is $12.99 plus shipping and handling, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Preaching Christ Crucified with Dr. Carl Fikancher. He is Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikancher, before we go on here, one of your colleagues at Concordia Theological Seminary, Pastor John Pless, is the author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, this book called Handling the Word of Truth, Law and Gospel in the Church Today. How can a layperson benefit from this resource?
Well, I think that's a marvelous resource. I'm delighted that you chose that as a book of the month for this reason. What John has written there, of course, is a way of taking C.F.W. Walter's theses on the proper distinction between law and gospel and making them really applicable, really handleable, shall I say, by lay people. Walter's Law and Gospel in itself is a magnificent work, and I many times before have recommended it to the listeners. But what John has done is take the Walter theses and give illustrations from life situations that are very, very easy to grasp. They take it well beyond just the limited responsibility of a pastor doing his sermonizing, which of course was Walter's chief concern, and shows something I've tried to demonstrate to my students many times, that the proper distinction between law and gospel really is, in essence, living out the Christian life, realizing that for me, myself, at this moment, I need to hear God's command that puts me in my place, and at this moment next, I need to hear that Christ has picked me up from the desperation of my sin. And in dealing with another person, he needs to hear God's law at this moment, and then he needs to hear the gospel. So it really illustrates in very tangible, relevant ways, also especially for the lay people, what this real key to the life in Christ is all about.
Folks, you can find out more about this great book called Handling the Word of Truth at our website, issuesetc.org. The book is right there on the homepage. You can also order Handling the Word of Truth by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Be sure to mention Issues Etc. when you order Handling the Word of Truth, 1-800-325-3040. All right, one more example this from one of the four Gospels, Dr. Fikencher, on these two great truths, law and gospel, so that Christ might be proclaimed, crucified, and risen for sinners.
Again, there are so many possibilities, and in fact, these three examples are less than the tip of the iceberg. The truth of the matter is the entire Holy Scripture is law and gospel. So let me just go once again to the gospel lesson for this day. The gospel lesson that was read in many of our churches this morning was Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Here again, it's not the narrative of the crucifixion, but we'll see how clearly the cross, Jesus Christ crucified, is really the point. First, on the law side, Jesus, praying to the Father, says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure." Now, on the law side, what Jesus is saying is that people who are going to depend on their own wisdom, their own scholarship, their own intelligence to understand God, to know God, to come to God, are going to remain eternally in the dark. Jesus is saying, people, on your own, you simply do not have what it takes, no matter how bright you may be, to be with God, to have a relationship with God. You simply will never understand who the true God is and how he has come to you, how he has come to love you and redeem you on your own. And that's law. That's very stern law, and that certainly puts us in our place. It humbles us. It shows us once again that we desperately need a Savior. We can't reach God on our own. We need him to come to us. And then at the end of this same pericope, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now here, Jesus is really not telling us to do something else, to follow some new course of action, to do something on our own that might try to earn our relationship with God or establish our own relationship with God. What he's really saying when he says, "My burden is light," is saying that he has already carried the burden for us. He has really lifted the responsibility of establishing a relationship with God off of our shoulders and taken them on his own. When we are a part of Jesus' yoke, we are with Jesus, who has already carried the yoke for us. And actually, even the imagery there is suggestive, because when we picture a yoke over the shoulders, it's not a distant leap to realize how Jesus has lifted that burden off our shoulders. It happened when his arms were spread out on the wood of the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he took away all of the sins that would have been a heavy burden to us, that in fact would have made it impossible for us to have a relationship with him, with God. When he took our sins upon himself, as Isaiah also said, and as we see in Scripture again and again, he cleaned the slate, reconciled us to God, brought us back into an eternal relationship with God. Once again, we who under the law could never have known God, no matter how intelligent, how wise we might be, nevertheless are reconciled to God because he, Christ, on the cross, carried our burden for us. Once again, Jesus Christ crucified.
All right, on our weekday program, Dr. Fikencher, and let's go through these very, very quickly, if we could,
sure,
so we have time to talk with some of our listeners. We do sermon reviews of popular evangelical preachers,
yes,
just about every week on the program, and we use this threefold litmus test. I want to go through these one at a time very quickly. The first part of this litmus test is the simple question, how many times is Jesus mentioned in the sermon you're listening to? So why is it important that Jesus be mentioned, not just some generic God or some higher power or some other general reference to a deity?
Well, of course, Jesus makes it very clear in the Gospels. For example, in the Gospel of John, when he says that he who does not know him does not know the Father. On the other hand, he says to the disciples in John 14 that if we know Christ, we do know the Father. If we are seeking just some generic deity or hoping that someone is out there, but not seeing him through Christ, then it's exactly as Jesus said in the gospel lesson we just quoted from Matthew 11, that we simply will never know him. We will simply not know the Father. It will not be revealed to us. The Father is also only revealed to us in the Son. Unless Christ is the center of preaching, we will never know the true God at all. We can't simply come to know the true God in unspecific terms about some deity out there. As a matter of fact, I still have my Bible open to Matthew chapter 11, and words that I didn't read from the gospel lesson this morning say this: "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Apart from Jesus Christ, we just don't know the true God at all. So Christ has to be the center of our preaching.
All right. Folks, try that at home sometimes. I mean, just simply keep a running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned, whether it be your pastor in your church or your favorite radio or TV preacher, how often they mention Jesus by name. You might be surprised how seldom Jesus actually gets mentioned. And by the way, if Jesus doesn't get mentioned in your pastor's or your preacher's sermon, then the sermon wasn't about Jesus. It was about someone else. Here's the second part of the diagnostic tool that we use when we review popular evangelical preachers. Who is the subject of the verbs? If Jesus gets mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? So, Pastor Fakencher, why is it important that Jesus be the one who is doing the action in Christ-centered preaching?
Well,
about 1 minute to answer.
Sure. This is, of course, as basic as any truth in Reformation theology. We realize that nothing we do can ever earn our relationship with God. We are justified by faith in Christ, by faith in what Christ has done for us. If the verbs are human-centered, if it is what we are to do, what I am to do, or in the second person preacher to hearers, what you are to do, then it's always going to be relying on a place where there can never be salvation earned. We can't do that. We realize that our salvation is by what Christ alone has done, and therefore it's imperative that in our preaching the verbs be things that God is doing for us in Christ, things that Christ is doing for us. When God is doing it, when Christ is doing it, then we have God's eternal power working also in that sermon, just as in the death and resurrection of Christ, Jesus himself, God incarnate, did the work, did the driving.
All right, when we come back from this break, we'll talk about the third part of that little litmus test we use when we listen to sermons here on Issues, etc. Have you noticed this in preaching today, that it is often the Christian that gets preached rather than the Christ? It's more about you than about your Savior. Or when Jesus is mentioned in the sermon, it's a Jesus in you as a power source or something like that, rather than Jesus for you, sinner, at the cross. Well, you can learn firsthand from Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching from our guest this hour, Dr. Carl Fakencher, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, call Concordia Theological Seminary, their number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. If this conversation has whetted your appetite to learn more about this, you can also look for the picture of the Luther statue on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's right there on our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. We'll be right back. Here's Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon, on why you should support LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief is so important because it gives flesh to the love that Christ commands us to have. I'm reminded of the words from 1 John, where the apostle wrote, "Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." And when you support LCMS World Relief, that is precisely what you're doing. You're loving in deed and in truth. You're providing food for the hungry and shelter for the homeless and clothing for the naked. It's a way that the love of Christ is actually incarnate and touches these people's lives, and it's just a wonderful thing.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, look for their logo at our website, issuesetc.org, or call them, area code 314-996-1683. 314-996-1683. LCMS World Relief.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc. What is the primary purpose of God's law? Does God's law motivate Christians to do good works? And do Christians still need to hear about the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July answers those questions and more. It's titled, Handling the Word of Truth, Law and Gospel in the Church Today. You can find out more about this helpful Bible study resource on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number is 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Handling the Word of Truth costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. What does it mean to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Find out with Handling the Word of Truth by Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor John Pless. 1-800-325-3040. Handling the Word of Truth, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July.
Folks, lots of parachurch organizations and virtually every church body does some kind of relief work, even liberal churches. But many times, those relief efforts to people who are stricken by floods or tsunamis, those relief efforts are tied together with a social gospel or a prosperity gospel. Well, that's not the case with LCMS World Relief. For more information on this Christ-centered, cross-focused relief agency, look for their logo on our website, issuesetc.org, or call LCMS World Relief at area code 314-996-1683, 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief. Dr. Vikencher, before we talked about the first two parts of this little test that we use for listening to sermons, first of all, how many times is Jesus mentioned? If he's mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? The third part of the diagnostic, quickly as we go to our calls, is what are those verbs? What difference does it make if the verbs that are used there, of which Jesus is the subject, are things like Jesus empowers us or motivates or inspires us, as opposed to Jesus suffers, forgives, dies, justifies, saves, redeems?
Well, ultimately, Jesus must be the one who is really doing everything. The point of the gospel is not the things that we do as a result, the things that we are empowered to do, although certainly we are empowered by the gospel to do things, things that are according to God's will. The real point of the gospel is finally, what has Christ done for us? And those last sets of verbs, the bleeding, the forgiving, the dying, the justifying, in those verbs, Jesus is the final word. What he has done is ultimately the end of the story. And that's really the way the entire scripture tells the story, with Jesus being the one who does all the work from Alpha to Omega, from first to last. Jesus is the one who accomplishes all things for our salvation. And so it really is crucial that what we proclaim about Christ is finally what he has done in the last analysis for our salvation.
1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Bill in Guthrie, Oklahoma, listening on KQCV. Bill, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, sir. I was in church today, and they did the mix-up of patriotism and preaching. And to be honest, I left a little empty because, to me, you know, am I a patriot? Yes. Am I a Christian? Yes. Is Christianity more important to me than my patriotism? Yes. So when the two get mixed, I'm sitting there going, you know, there's... You know, this is all nice and well and good, but, you know, I need more. I need to be reminded of that stuff because if I'm not reminded of it, I might start thinking that I got a hold of it again.
Bill, thank you very much. I think, let's see, Dr. Vikencher, why is he leaving feeling empty after a sermon that mixes patriotism with a little bit of Christianity tossed in.
Well, I think, again, Todd, you gave a good illustration of that when we began. A sermon that is George Washington and Thomas Jefferson just simply does not have the substance as compared to a sermon that is Jesus Christ. And there is no comparison. Christ has done all things for us, for our salvation. As we said, he has accomplished all things to give us eternal life. The founding fathers did some fine things to help set our land on in a comfortable course, and they may even be fine examples for us of commitment to a cause. But that does not accomplish ultimately anything for us. Certainly, it doesn't accomplish our salvation. And Bill is exactly right. We need to hear about the great things, the eternal things, the things of God, the things that God has done to give us eternal life. And because, as we mentioned earlier, we are sinners and constantly struggle against sin, we need to be assured Sunday after Sunday, including Sunday, July 3rd, that Christ has accomplished these things for us that no man, including the great patriots, could accomplish.
Bill, give us a call back, and we'll send you a copy of this book absolutely free, Handling the Word of Truth, 1-800-730-2727. Trent is calling from Los Angeles, where he listens on XM Radio. Hi, Trent.
How you doing?
Very well.
Well, first of all, I want to say thanks for putting the true gospel out on the radio. We need to hear that every Sunday, every day. Sometimes I need to hear it all day.
Amen.
So I appreciate that. And I was just going to relate a story of going to church today. It's not even my church, just a church I actually visited to see a friend. And it always seems, as I looked around, and no Bible is cracked at all, everything is written for you up on the jumbo screens, was that there was just no life in anyone's face, or there was no joy, because we were talking about how to better spend our money. And I just kept thinking, somebody needs to come in here and preach some life and Christ crucified and how he and us accomplishes the things we would like to do and can't because of our flesh. And I just left, like the previous caller said, just feeling so empty for these people and just going, I want you to hear the true gospel.
Trent,
I just couldn't believe it.
Trent, thank you very much. Dr. Fikencher, about a minute here.
Sure. That's a good observation, Trent, because, you know, it certainly is possible with an ecclesiastical pep rally to pump people up and make us feel as if we are all very, very joyful indeed. But, you know, in Philippians, St. Paul was in prison, and there he again and again and again speaks of joy, and it's a very different kind of joy. What is the kind of joy that Paul talks about there? It's the joy of knowing that if he lives, he lives for Christ. If he dies, he also dies and goes to be with Christ, which is far better. The real joy, which sometimes is not obvious on faces or in voices, but is very present and real in the heart, is the joy that comes with the assurance that Christ, by his death and resurrection, has freed us from our sins and given us eternal life and eternal joy, no matter what may come up in this life, whether it's a term falsely imprisoned as Paul was, or suffering that we may go through as we carry crosses here in this life.
A quick call and a quick answer from our guest. Rana calls from Palo Alto, California, listening on KFAX. Rana, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Preaching overall is poor. Many go to the door on this issue, but they don't go in. They're not emphasizing the tremendous gift of Christ's death for sin. They preach mostly about love and not about God's justice. And it creates a false sense of security and also a sense of entitlement. It says in the Bible that God may say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And how, you know, and without realizing that their sin and admitting the sin, there's no chance to be born again. How could a layperson correct this without creating the impression that we would want hell and damnation preaching?
All right, Rana, thank you. A very quick answer with less than a minute, Dr. Fikencher.
Yes, Rana, well, you've certainly hit on a real problem, and that is when we fail also to preach the law in its full sternness. That's the way Walther puts the term. Yes, as a lay person, you certainly want to speak to your pastor in a way that enables him to improve his preaching, but without undermining the authority of the office. And that would, I think, mean going privately to your pastor and speaking to him and saying, "Pastor, you know, God really does have very rigid commands for us in his law. And unless, Pastor, we are reminded of how badly we fall short of the glory of God by disobeying the commands, we really won't appreciate the gospel that is being proclaimed. We want to continue to hear you proclaim the forgiveness of our sins, but we'll really only appreciate that if you remind us how much we need that forgiveness. And that means pointed, very specific preaching also of the law.
Folks, we'll continue to respond to your phone calls and your email in the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call. 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you won't be able to listen to this next hour on the radio. It's only on the Internet, but you can listen there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen online and you can hear the next hour as we continue our conversation. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, July the 3rd. Write this number down. Call us during this break. 1-800-730-2727. We'll continue to give away copies of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, handling the word of truth to listeners with the best questions and the best comments in the next hour. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. I'd love to hear from you in the next hour on the current state of preaching. Your thoughts on that, 1-800-730-2727. Could it really be this radical, this simple, as Paul saying, I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified? Really? That Christ and Him crucified would be the beating heart, the life, the unmistakable message of every sermon? Every Sunday, every sinner, every opportunity? Really, Christ for sinners? As the meat and drink of what we hear and what we preach? Yes. Really. That's the only message we have that the world can't give. That's the only peace we have to give that the world can't give. It is the only hope that the church holds out to sinners, both believers and unbelievers, to sinners all. Christ at the cross, in the grave, and out after 3 days for you. I'm Todd Wilkham. This is Issues Etc. Your phone calls and email in the next hour, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkham weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.